Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, you're going to have fun in the city if you can stay in the cool shade somewhere or just in the air conditioning. I want to go back to the newsroom, and Chris Miller's in our newsroom. Chris, so it's 101 in Slidell. It just sounded weird for you to say that.
It is weird. Yeah, 101, not the heat index, the actual thermometer, 101.
And what's the temperature of the airport?
At the airport, it's 98, which is pretty,
oh, wow.
I mean...
Wow, just yeah, nice cool weather at the airport, 98 degrees, wow. But 101. Now, at this point in the day, we could still inch up a degree or two, right, at the airport?
Yeah, it's only three. I mean, you're going to get maximum daytime heating. The meteorologists usually say, you know, maybe closer to 5 o'clock. Yeah. Sundown's not till sometime after 8, so there's plenty more sunshine left out there to heat this joint up.
Yeah, all right, thanks. It just seems so weird for you to say it's 101 and... Slidell, because it's just, you know, as hot as it gets around here, that's still a little bit unusual for us.
Yeah.
All right, Chris Miller in the newsroom. We'll hear from Chris coming up here shortly. Also, there's a special CBS News update coming up at 20 after the hour, again at 50 after the hour. We're carrying this after the historical, monumental Supreme Court decision earlier today to overturn Roe v. Wade. So we'll get back to that that conversation. It's Free for All Friday. In fact, you know, I think we can kind of break loose and have a little fun in this final hour. But before we do that, we have to talk about something that happened 49 years ago today. Now, this was 1973, and this gay bar caught on fire. And we had somebody call the show yesterday who was an emergency room nurse when some of the gay men were coming into the emergency room from that fire. And she just talked about how horrific it was. And what's really sad is that because these people were gay, just because they were gay, there wasn't a lot of empathy or sympathy for what they'd gone through. And the mentality at the time caused some people to think they got what they deserved. Well, yesterday, the city council recognized that mistake on the part of the city and changed things. And Clancy Dubose has talked about how he was a young reporter, 18 years old, very young reporter, working for the Times-Picayune. And he says, as I approached the corner, what I saw stopped me cold. And this is in an article in Gambit. He writes about this. The street was packed with firefighters, media, and gawkers. And a man with much of his flesh burned off and hanging from his limbs. He sat on the curb facing the fire, weeping, begging for help. I had to turn away, at least momentarily. Robert Fiesler, is the author of the book Tinderbox, The Untold Story of the Upstairs Lounge Fire and the Rise of Gay Liberation. Robert, welcome to our show.
Scoot, happy to be talking to you about this, and I appreciate that you're devoting the time to help honor the Upstairs Lounge dead. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad we've changed. There's still a lot of change that needs to still take place, but a lot has changed. And one of the reasons that this is a sensitive topic for me is because, you know, I remember in the mid-70s when disco was just really starting to hit. And the gay mm-hmm. clubs in the quarter had the best disco. So my wife and I and our married friends, we went to the gay bars all the time to mm-hmm. enjoy the music, the disco, because they had the best music. And so going to a gay bar was a quite acceptable thing in the 70s. And yet this happened, and it's almost as if people just wanted to almost pretend it didn't happen.
Sure. And you, as you bring up, the French Quarter had a teeming gay underworld of a lot of hopping bars in 1973. And the Upstairs Lounge Bar, which tragically was burned in the arson in 1973, was no exception. Not enough is said about the fact that it was a great bar environment, a community gathering space, a place for fun events like amateur theatrical melodrama performances. At times it was a worship space for a gay church, and just for fun stuff. There'd be drag review performances, there'd be holiday shows, Easter bonnet contests. I mean, it was a place where they had a baby grand piano in the front room, a place where if you were of a certain cadre of semi-closeted gay men and you walked up to the second store bar on the corner of Iberville and Charter Street, you were going to hear that piano music and you were going to be having a great time. And what's so tragic is that violence struck that environment, that special egalitarian crowd, so quickly and resulted in 32 deaths.
And Robert, talk about why there were so many deaths. I mean, I've just heard horrific stories about this bar.
Sure. I mean, it was a nondescript bar, like only accessible right by a barely advertised signage and a winding staircase. And that was important in the era of when queer life, gay life was criminalized and we didn't have body autonomy, right? So you could be punished for private bedroom behavior. You could be punished for drinking or working in a gay bar. You could be punished for if you were gay and you owned or rented a home or occupied space on a sidewalk. So you wanted privacy if you were going into one of these oases. In the Upstairs Lounge, what would happen is you would duck into this side door on Iberville Street, and you would walk up a twisting stairwell that was the lone entrance and exit to this very large cavernous bar on the second floor. And on the Sunday night of June 24th, 1973, what made that the fact that going up this staircase, although ordinarily for gay men, was a privilege, right? Mm-hmm. Walking up this staircase up, you know, we were heading up and away from the world oppressed you into this portal to your favorite social club. However, that, you know, that portal became a source of horror because on the night in question, the Sunday night, June 24th, 1973, an arsonist emptied a bottle of lighter fluid and then produced a spark in that stairwell that had been the only accessible point for the gay public. And gay men became trapped, imprisoned, in fact, in this bar. And they were so many lives were claimed in this incredibly fast-moving fire that lasted for just less than 20 minutes.
And Robert, this person purposely set this fire. Now, it's my understanding that he was kicked out of the bar or wasn't allowed in. Do you know
Correct.
That story?
Yeah. So the gentleman's name, he's the primary suspect because the Upstairs Lounge fire is still considered an unsolved crime. But the gentleman's name was Roger Dale Nunez, and Roger Dale Nunez had a criminal record. He was also wanted on, you know, in violation of probation the night that he drunkenly entered the Upstairs Lounge bar when on a busy night. Started harassing customers, provoked a fight, and got clocked right in the chin, fell over, and he was violently ejected from the bar. And as he was ejected, two people heard him scream, "I'm going to burn you all out." I'll repeat that for your radio listeners. Roger Dale Nunez, as he's been being dragged from the Upstairs Lounge bar, screams, "I'm going to burn you all out." That's what criminologists call motive, anger. And then so about a minute later or so, a drunken person, vaguely being of the same description as Roger Dale Nunez, enters into that Walgreens on Royal and Iberville, buys a certain size and can of lighter fluid, and then moments after that, that same size and can of lighter fluid is emptied into the Upstairs Lounge front staircase, and then the spark is produced, which resulted in the horror and carnage.
It seems like police knew about this guy, and yet it's almost as if it wasn't that important to go prosecute him or to find him because the victims were gay.
Right. I mean, it was considered such an embarrassing, awkward crime for the city, right? The city didn't acknowledge the fact that they had these teeming gay bars. And in the scene of devastation that followed the Upstairs Lounge tragedy, literally an explosive moment of flames exploding through the windows of a second-story bar on the fringe of the French Quarter, right? You had Upstairs Lounge patrons seeing Roger Dale Nunez in the crowd, grabbing him and trying to drag him to police officers who don't want to hear it. They don't. They give the proverbial move along. They don't want to pay attention. And beyond that, the police actually catch Roger Dale Nunez. They have him in custody a mere week later. By what happened was they just if they had gone knocking, they would have found him faster. But the state fire marshals found Roger a mere two doors down from the upstairs lounge bar, asleep in a second-story apartment. So if the police had merely gone knocking, they would have found him. And then what happened? The police caught him and then lost him from custody in the oddest of circumstances. This was an investigation that was, you could say, is there negligence and incompetence? Where is their intent? Let's just say the investigation was botched because the chief suspect, Roger Dale Nunez, was never questioned by the police, even though they ended up closing the investigation in August of that year without answers. The city didn't want all the embarrassment, right, of focusing any more on this crime within its gay underworld, which then in 1973 was considered, unsympathetically, of course, a part of a criminal establishment. These men were considered sex criminals, and that's why there wasn't the proper amount of compassion, sympathy, attention paid to this terrible calamity. It was the deadliest fire on record in New Orleans history and the worst mass killing of queer citizens, gay and lesbian citizens, in 20th century America, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the worst mass killing was at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando.
You got it. It was a record never meant to be broken, right? Yeah. It took that long, and it took the advent of serious semi-automatic firearms to come anywhere close to matching this scope of death.
You know, I'm really disheartened by a woman who attended a memorial in 2018. Her name is Holly Bradford, and she is quoted in some articles written about this now since its 49th anniversary, and since the city council finally did something to recognize their mistake and not recognizing the victims. She said that radio talk show hosts joked about burying the remains of the victims in fruit jars.
Yep. Yes, that was the joke by the equivalent of the type of shock jock of the era, and that was considered good humor for the time period. People who weren't ready to a city that wasn't ready to acknowledge the reality that it was gay populace and that everyone likely knew a gay or lesbian person instead reacted to the tragedy with that kind of callousness. The jokes are like did you hear about the burning queens? There were several other jokes I don't want to repeat, but that was a common way for the city to acknowledge what was happening and to minimize the botched police investigation and the fact that, and it's very sad, there were survivors to the fire, right, who were suffering immediate trauma and needed help, right, in an emergency moment, and that there were family members, right, who lost fathers, right, and there were children who were affected by this at a time where gay men often married women prior to divorcing and coming out of the closet. Right. So there were children that lost fathers, breadwinners, people lost uncles and family members, and there were families struggling to reclaim their deceased relatives and to try to do what they could in a time of religious biases, right? When they were trying to find a way to get these individuals respectfully buried, right? Held or at least have a respectful funeral. And in many cases, such as there was a local guy, an upstairs lounge victim named Clarence McCloskey, and we spoke at length about him at the council meeting yesterday because Clarence's sister Rose Little issued a statement. But according to Rose Little yesterday, she let it be known, and it was an incredibly powerful moment, that her brother Clarence, following the upstairs lounge fire, was denied a Catholic funeral by the local parish because he had died in a gay bar.
God, that's just so unbelievable. It really is. And for the record, it wasn't me that made those jokes. I was just really young, just getting into the business. I'd like to know who said that. All I know is that some radio hosts were making fun of such a tragedy. But it's sad that that was a sign of those times. And I guess a lot changed from 73 to say 75 when disco really started to hit. I think a lot changed in those few years.
Sure. I mean, you would start to see attitudes adjusting. The development of a larger, more open gay population at various points, and then also you had starting in the late 70s, you had actually gay and lesbian activists who were using their real names, demanding to be put on news cameras, And, you know, come what may, even being willing to piss off their employers by letting it be known that this was their lifestyle and they deserve rights in New Orleans. And I think you're right. I mean, that disco did have a significant role in the fact that the fashion of it and in the egalitarian nature of the way that disco worked. It brought everyone together on the dance floor, right? That became one way in the especially the mid to late 70s for a lot of people to affiliate with New Orleans hopping, very large gay and lesbian community.
You know, I had a moment of epiphany when Donna Summer passed away, and I was writing a blog about her and talking about how my wife and I used to go to the gay bars, and Love to Love You Baby by Donna Summer, one of her early hits, was one of the really early disco songs. I know it doesn't sound too disco-y compared to Saturday Night Fever, but it was one of the early disco songs that I remember dancing to on the dance floor. And in talking about that, I realized that I still go to gay bars. I mean, quite often Sunday afternoon, I'm at the Bourbon Pub watching the videos. I still go to gay bars, but a lot of people in my generation all of a sudden had a different attitude about going to gay bars. And it's interesting how the boomer generation in some ways became very judgmental of gays after going through a period early in their life when they were just so supportive of equality on every level.
Right. I mean, the backlash, especially starting in the 80s and especially with the advent of the AIDS crisis, right, was a lot of individuals hypocritically going back and in some senses taking political stances that betrayed some of their friends from the prior decade. And that was very and that's just the sign that, you know, we're a nation of forward steps and backward steps. Right. Yeah. And we've been dealing with this all day with the prior news you were talking about, striking down of Roe v. Wade. But we're a nation where you know, in the late 70s, Miami-Dade County can pass an ordinance, right, prohibiting discrimination against gay folk. And then the next month there can be a referendum led by the anti-homosexual spokesperson, Anita Bryant, right, that strikes it down. It's within the next few months of it. And that push-pull is the nature of our democracy, I think, and also the nature of the fact that there is a very deep social bias, and I don't know why, about because I'm still trying to sort it out about this certain specific individual who wants to privately practice love in a certain manner, and I think a lot of it gets to conservatives complete discomfort with the right to privacy except in their own context. I mean, when you think about what Lawrence v. Texas was, the Supreme Court decision in 2003 struck down anti-sodomy laws. What that fundamentally said is that gay men and lesbians, or non-married couples too, or married couples who didn't want to have just the specific legally defined intercourse, could be permitted to do so.
Right, and that case was based on a neighbor who didn't like gays, and he looked into the window and he timed when they were having sex. He figured out when they might be having sex, saw them having sex, and called in a false firearms alert to get the police out there to catch you having sex. So, I've talked about that a lot. I have to move on.
It's to the right to privacy, though. And then when you violate the right to privacy, I think this is what happens. You set up laws that start to stigmatize people. And then if something happens in an emergency moment, like the Upstairs Lounge Bar in 1973, those stigmatized people, if they're affected by violence, people are not going to be sympathetic to them because the law has already declared their lifestyle, their identity, criminal.
Well, it's a shame, and I'm glad the perception of that for most people has changed. Robert Fiesler, thank you for being with us. Robert is the author of the book Tinderbox, The Untold Story of the Upstairs Lounge Fire and the Rise of Gay Liberation. Robert, thanks for being with us, and happy Gay Pride Month.
Happy Pride to you, and United We Stand on behalf of the Upstairs Lounge scholars and families and survivors. United we stand.
All right. I'm Scoot, and we'll come back with more. If you want to join us with a comment, we're going to turn this into a free-for-all Friday now. The Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, it's a hot Friday afternoon. I'm Scoot. I wonder if the hot weather has anything to do with traffic. Let's go to our traffic expert, Courtney P. in the traffic center. Hey, Courtney, do you know if there's any correlation between hot weather and traffic slowing down?
You know, I would say that there could be a correlation. It does seem the hotter it gets, I think it's the road rage probably.
Maybe.
that will ramp up and cause. I mean, because when I get here in the afternoon, sometimes there are wrecks everywhere. And, you know,
yeah.
That typically wasn't happening when it was a little cooler. So I think it's the road rage that, you know, not everyone has air. Some people are going by the recommendations to keep the air turned, you know, at a certain temperature. But hot and sticky, there's hangry and then there's hot-gree, I guess.
Yeah, really. Indeed. You know, I notice, sometimes I notice people like driving around with their windows down, and I'm hoping that it's just they just enjoy the warmer weather. I hope they're not stuck without AC, but there are some people who drive around without AC this time of year.
Absolutely. And when you run it so much and so frequently, it's the breakdown, too, that happens.
Yes.
And then the whole AC recharge, some people just, you know, you really should go to someone professional to do it. I know a lot of people try to do it on their own and it just doesn't work for them and they end up running, you know, riding around hot.
Yeah, I went through a period of my life where it's like every car I had was overheating. It's horrible. It's a horrible insecurity to have, to think that your car at any moment is going to overheat. To this day, I still look down when it's really a hot day and
absolutely.
I'm in at a stop sign.
I still look down
and go, is the engine okay? Is it okay?
I know that feeling. And when I first got I have an SUV now, and the temperature gauge started to trend hot, and I was on the phone, like, with the manufacturer and this and that, and they were like, you know, ma'am, calm down. We did make it so that your particular engine ran a little hotter so you get more life out of your oil. I was like, I was just checking.
That's nice to know.
I don't want that.
All right, Courtney P., thanks for being with us, and
no
thanks
problem.
For being part of our show now, and have a great weekend.
Absolutely, you too.
All right. Let's go to Billy in Metairie. Billy, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Scoop?
Good. Billy, so you own the bar that was downstairs from the upstairs lounge bar that caught on fire.
139 Charters.
So tell me about that night.
Well, it's the second bar I've owned, and you know I've owned a bunch of them. And we were at a friend's house, watching TV, having dinner, and a bulletin came on. There's a fire, and I looked at it, and the guy says, "That looks like your bar." And we jumped in the car, and within 10 minutes, we came from Orleans Avenue down in Mid-City to Iberville and Charters.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, Scoot, it's the most horrific and saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. They had iron bars on the windows, and people tried to get out.
Oh, my God.
When I got there, the fire was out, but the people were dead. And then there were some people who got away who went up out to the back. They went up into something and got up. There was a little, maybe a patio back there. I don't remember, but there were some survivors who got out of it. And the next day, Bill Elder, was that his name? Bill Elder. He was a young TV newscaster. And he came to my bar, which, of course, was closed because the fire department sprayed so much water. It damaged the bar, and the bar next to me was called the Gemini, and it was damaged. And he came, and I said, you know, if you want to get up there and look around, I got a door, like a trap door up in my back behind my liquor closet, and you're there. And he wouldn't go. And my wife at the time said, well, he's never going to make it as a reporter. He didn't want to do that. He's crazy. He could have got up there and got a scoop, and he could have got done. I think he lasted 40 years.
Yeah, he wasn't crazy, though. He wasn't crazy.
No, but there were others who did it, others who went and got up in there. But it was horrible. It was horrible. And then that day, I don't remember what night of the week it was, but the next day, it looked like tourist city. People coming there just to gawk and look. And it made me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, I guess it was so, and back then, Billy, it was so scandalous that, you know, it didn't get the attention it deserved. There wasn't the empathy that should have been expressed toward the victims. And, you know, I guess it was just such a scene.
I mean, they were human beings is what they were.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, I don't care what they do. But it was horrible. When I tell you, it was the worst thing I ever saw. I called and I told the boy, I said, I don't have to get on the air. And he asked me to get on the air and say
sure.
it, I'm saying it. And
all right, Billy. Well,
I still remember it. And when
they had
the picture in the paper of the anniversary, I guess it was the 40th anniversary or something, when it happens on the front page of the Picayune. And I'm standing there. I remember how I was dressed. I had my bebop hat on. I said, that's a hell of a way to make the front page of the newspaper. You know?
All right, well, Billy, I appreciate you sharing that story with us, and I can imagine how horrific that was. 49 years ago today, 32 people died in a fire at a gay bar on Iberville in the French Quarter, and they were basically shunned by the city of New Orleans and by society because they were gay. We've been talking about this decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. It's been done. The Supreme Court did it earlier today. And Clarence Thomas has even started to talk about going after same-sex marriage and birth control pills, because the pill, the idea of banning the pill was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court in the early 60s. And here's a song from 1975 that kind of explains how important the pill was to so many women. I can't imagine women losing birth control pills today. Yeah, women were suddenly liberated sexually with the pill. And that's why a lot of people on the moral right were very upset. That's why they wanted the pill banned, so people couldn't have sex without worrying about pregnancy. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know we love when we play this song on a Friday afternoon. It means Friday night is on the way.
Damn.
I wish you could see how stupid Ian and I are when this song comes on. And when other songs come on as
around.
Well. I mean, this show is like, I mean, it's like, ridiculous. it's like car dancing, you know, when you're in the car. You know,
yeah, there's
like,
we're both sitting down. There's
chair
only so
dancing.
Much you can do. Yeah, we're chair dancing.
Yeah. Anyway, we love to act stupid.
We
do it not only on Fridays, but a lot of it's a shame this show isn't on TV. Or isn't shown in video somewhere. All right, let's go to Jimmy in Gretna. Hey, Jimmy, you're on WWL.
Hey, how's it going, Scoot?
Good.
Hey, really quick, I told Ian this is kind of funny and ironic at the same time. You know how every Friday or even other days you guys bring up the fact Metallica is playing at Skate Country on the West Bank or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out, and this is factual, you can fact check this, James Hetfield, the singer of Metallica, his son has a band called Bastardane. I don't know why he named it that, but they're playing tonight in New Orleans at Santos Bar, and that's factual.
Oh, wow.
So I figured you'd, like, get some, you know, humor out of that, you know, because it's not Metallica, it's not James Hetfield, but his son has a band, of course, probably well-funded by his daddy.
I'm sure.
They're playing at Santos Bar, so yes.
So yeah,
check
out the equipment. I'm sure they've got great equipment because you know,
excellent
Dad's
equipment.
Got a few bucks.
Daddy's got a couple bucks. Yes, not Skate Country anymore.
All right, that's cool, Jimmy. Thanks a lot for that. Yeah, Santos is on Decatur. Sometimes they have 80s night there. It's just down from the new One Eye Jacks. You got a couple of texts.
Here's a text message. These are in response to our conversation about the Upstairs Lounge fire. Here's one. It says, "As a conservative Republican Christian, this is definitely a stain on the state of Louisiana, the FBI, and the city of New Orleans for not investigating those murders better."
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, those were Democrat elected officials that didn't take care of business.
Well, you know, I'm assuming that they were.
That's
back in those days.
Right,
sure. Yeah. I'm sure they were.
Yeah. Here's a text that says, "Gay bars back in the day were known for having the best cocaine. That's what brought us out there. And I mean, that stuff was fire. And we were always treated good. We never stayed long."
It depends on the year. You know, I wasn't doing coke back in those disco era years. I wasn't doing coke, so I missed it. I didn't go to the gay bars for coke.
Here's a text message that says, "Ugh, just makes me sick thinking about it. It is 121 degrees in my delivery truck right now."
You could bake muffins in there.
You gonna have some muffins, bro?
You could. All right, we've got a special CBS News update coming up, and we've been doing this because of the Supreme Court ruling, so we'll be right back. Sports Talk with Mike Dettillier and Steve Geller coming up next. All right, we've been talking about the historic Supreme Court decision. Roe v. Wade has been overturned after 50 years. And I think this is something that is going to ultimately lead to a change in attitude when it comes to sex, a change in attitude when it comes to teenage girls being on birth control. And I would hope that when it comes to guys, they would think about the possibility that if you get somebody pregnant and they can't have an abortion, guess what? You're trapped too. You are trapped too. Not in the same way. It's not the same, but you're still responsible. So, you know, I hope it makes people think twice about all that. Anyway, do not be surprised if the far right goes after rights like same-sex marriage and the right to have birth control pills. Can you imagine that was even a battle in this country in the early 60s? There were people on the far right who were trying to ban. Well, they did. They banned birth control pills because they didn't want people to go out and have fun sexually. So birth control pills were banned. Of course, case went to the Supreme Court, which ruled it is unconstitutional to ban birth control pills. It is unconstitutional to stop two people from getting married. It is unconstitutional to stop somebody from participating in sodomy. And at one point, it was unconstitutional to tell somebody they could not have an abortion. So we're going to have to see where all of this goes. About 50 million Americans, including all of us, are under a heat advisory. It is hot. So do what you can to stay hydrated. Stay cool as best you can. Oh, by the way, congratulations to the New Orleans City Council because they have approved new measures about seizing cars. And this is where the illegal car stunt shows. Councilman Eugene Green says it's time to get tough. And it's like $500 fine, imprisonment for 30 days for the first fine. It should be even higher than that. Then $500 imprisonment for not less than 90 days. And then the third time, seizure of cars. No, you know what? You get caught one time. You lost your car. Maybe it should be that way. All right, I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, market manager, Kevin Cassidy, Ian Hoke, always does such a great job. And as always, thank you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. Stay cool. Have a great weekend. Love you, New Orleans. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.